This is ARN.
I think most people in evangelicalism, when they see a squirrel, thinks of Gene Clyde. It's really strange when you think about it.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us this morning, a morning on which I did not want to get out of bed. It is Wednesday, the 17th day of April, 2024. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble, and again, for the moment, YouTube. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member, of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.org. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it, or double your money back. We had the triple the money back guarantee for a while, but that was getting too expensive. We've rolled it back to the double your money back guarantee, just so you know. All right. Oh, gosh. Wednesday morning. We're halfway through the week by lunchtime. Got youth group tonight, the second to last youth group before we launch into our summer hiatus. And I'm cooking dinner tonight for the youth group. There used to be a restaurant in Missoula called Tower Pizza. And Tower Pizza did the best baked hoagie sandwiches. Just fabulous. And when talking to the owner several years, actually, before they closed, he gave me the secret to those sandwiches. So I will be doing baked hoagies for the youth group tonight. Looking forward to that. They will, of course, be served with Lay's potato chips and pickle spears, just like Tower Pizza used to do it. The only thing we're not doing is serving them on pizza pans, which is how they were served at the restaurant. I missed that place. That was a well-traveled date spot for Mrs. Squirrel and I, going back many years, going back to college. It saddens me that it is no longer an available place to go. Going back to high school, because that Tower Pizza used to be the hangout for the local barbershop quartet group. The local chapter of the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America. We used to have our rehearsals on Tuesday nights, and then we would retire to Tower Pizza, where I would always split a hoagie with my dad. And dad was the director of the Rocky Mountaineers chorus. And so we would always meet there, and you would have the restaurant full of guys singing. It was a fun time. Matter of fact, it was such a standard for us that when we won some regional competitions, our trophies were displayed at Tower Pizza. So I miss Tower Pizza. I miss it greatly. Think about it often every time I drive by. It's another pizza shop now. It's a good one, I hear, but it's not the same. Completely remodeled. It doesn't have the same feel, you know. Doesn't have the same people. I mean, it was one of those places where you knew the staff and always felt welcome when you walked in. You walked in, they knew you. It got to the point that Mrs. Squirrel and I didn't even have to order. We'd walk in, sit down, you know, they'd bring us some waters and say the usual. We'd say, yeah. And within a few minutes, two hoagies and a cheese bread would show up and we could dine with great joy. But I'm going to be making those hoagies tonight for the kids in the youth group. And I'm looking forward to that. And it's the next to the last youth group. Where did the winter go? We just started. just started. And now it's, you know, gosh, I've got summer camp coming up in just over a month. The first week of June is high school week. And we're almost to May. I mean, we got, 14 more days until May? And then, wow, then 1 month later is June. You know, we got high school graduations coming up in May, then camp in June. Busy, busy time. Busy, busy time. Programming note, there will be no Squirrel Chatter on Tuesday next week. I will be once again one of the quiz masters for the high school quiz bowl, which is it's the state championship. I'm not sure what exactly, it's the academic challenge, something like that. We always just call it the quiz bowl. But basically, I get to play Alex Trebek to a bunch of high school kids as they are competing for the state championship. This is a scholastic competition between high schools, and the state championship is next Tuesday in Missoula, up in the University Center Ballroom on the University of Montana campus. And so that's where I'm going to be next Tuesday, and I've got to be in Missoula far too early to do Squirrel Chatter. So there will be no Squirrel Chatter on Tuesday of next week. So, you know, I've also got second weekend of May, there will be no Squirrel Chatter through there because I'll be traveling again. So, and then that week in June when I'm up at camp, there will be no Squirrel Chatter. So we're going to be taking some hiati. I think the hiati, the plural of hiatus, because I don't think it's hiatuses. We're going to take hiati in the next couple of months just because there's other stuff going on. Always miss being here, but it's something that has to take care of, you know. Life goes on. There's other stuff I got to do. I don't have to arrange a guest host or anything like that. This isn't broadcast radio, you know. Rush Limbaugh wasn't there. They had to arrange a guest host or play a guest of or a best of episode. And we don't have to do that because this is a podcast. So we just skip an episode. But just letting you know that there are going to be a few episodes in the coming future, or a few days in the coming future when there will be no episode. There will be episodes of absence as we work into the spring. All right, what do we got coming up today? We have scripture readings from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have coffee from Herb's House House Blend. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, and then our study Bible level Bible study of Deuteronomy continues as we are looking at Moses' blessings upon the tribes of Israel as we are winding down our study of Deuteronomy. And whenever I reach the end of a study, there's always that feeling of sadness. I've often said, you know, when I finish preaching through a book of the Bible, I wanted to go back and start over again. Usually because, you know, I've learned so much during the preaching of that I wanted to start it over again because, you know, I'd have been much more deeper going through it the second time. Of course you can't do that. People get up and walk out. It's not pretty. You have to move on to another study, but I always have a bittersweet feeling when you reach the end of a study, even a study Bible level Bible study like we're doing, because it's just it's an interesting feeling to know that, you know, you've got the sense of accomplishment that you've gone through a book. But you also have the sadness that that trip is over. The journey's end is often a bittersweet time. And so I'm feeling that as we look at Deuteronomy 33. But we still got a few more weeks in Deuteronomy. We got to finish chapter 33, which we're not going to finish today. And then we've got chapter 34. And then we will be done. And then we will be moving on to the book of the prophet Isaiah, which I'm excited to get going on. So there's bittersweet that this one's ending. There's anticipation of what's coming. And I'm looking forward to that. All right, let us begin today, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Exodus 28 and Psalm 78. Exodus 28. Now as for you, bring near to yourself Aaron your brother, and his sons with him, for among the sons of Israel, from among the sins of Israel, to minister me, let me start over again, I'm getting tongue-tied, I am going to increase my font. Can I do that easily? Let me see, settings, font, there we go, up one, that'll make it a little bit easier. Don't know how it got adjusted, but somehow I had adjusted it down. But now I can read it better. Exodus 28. Now as for you, bring near to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me. Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all those wise at heart, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to set him apart as holy, in order for him to minister as priest to me. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastpiece and an ephod and a robe and a tunic of checkered work, a turban and a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, in order for him to minister as priest to me. They shall take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen. They shall also make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of the skillful designer. It shall have two shoulder pieces joined to its two ends, that it may be joined. The skillfully woven band which is on it shall be like its workmanship, of the same material, of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen. You shall take two onyx stones, and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on the one stone and the names of the remaining six on the second stone, according to their birth. As a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave the two stones according to the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them all around in filigree settings of gold. You shall put the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before Yahweh on his two shoulders for remembrance. You shall make filigree settings of gold and two chains of pure gold. You shall make them a twisted work of cords, and you shall put the chains of cords on the filigree settings. You shall make a breastpiece of judgment, the work of a skillful designer. Like the work of the ephod, you shall make it. Of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen you shall make it. It shall be square, having been folded double, a span in length and a span in width. You shall mount on it four rows of stones. The first row shall be a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. And the second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold settings. The stones shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12, according to their names. They shall be like the engravings of a signet, each according to his name for the 12 tribes. You shall make on the breastpiece chains of a twisted work of cords in pure gold. You shall make on the breastpiece two rings of gold, and you shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. You shall put the two cords of gold on the top rings at the ends of the breastpiece. You shall put the two ends of the two cords on the two filigree settings, and you shall put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front of it. You shall make two rings of gold and shall place them on the two ends of the breastpiece on the edge of it, which is toward the inner side of the ephod. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod, on the front of it, close to the place where it is joined, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it will be on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastpiece will not come loose from the ephod. Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he comes into the holy place, for a remembrance before Yahweh continually. You shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he comes in before Yahweh. And Aaron shall carry the judgment of the sons of Israel over his heart before Yahweh continually. You shall make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue. There shall be an opening at its top in the middle of it. Around the edge of its opening there shall be a binding of woven work, like the opening of a coat of mail, so that it will not be torn. You shall make on its hem pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material, all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, all around on the hem of the robe. It shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its sound shall be heard when he comes into the holy place before Yahweh, and when he goes out, so that he will not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold, and shall engrave on it, like the engravings of a signet, holy to Yahweh. You shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. It shall be at the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the sons of Israel set apart as holy, with regard to all their holy gifts. And it shall continually be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before Yahweh. You shall weave the tunic of checkered work of fine linen, and you shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash, the work of a weaver. For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, you shall also make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them, for glory and for beauty. You shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and ordain them and set them apart as holy, that they may minister to me as priests. You shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their bare flesh. They shall reach for the loins, from the loins even to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tent of meeting, or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not incur guilt and die. It shall be a perpetual statute to him and to his seed after him. And now, Psalm 78. The 78th Psalm, a maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will pour forth dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have recounted to us. We will not conceal them from their children, but recount to the generations to come the phrases of Yahweh, the praises of Yahweh, and his strength and his wondrous deeds that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and set a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and recount them to their children, that they should set their confidence in God and not forget the deeds of God, but observe his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. So they forgot his acts and his wondrous deeds that he had shown them. He did wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He split the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand up like a heap. Then he led them with the cloud by day and all the night with a light of fire. He was splitting the rocks in the wilderness and so gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the cliff face and caused water to run down like rivers. Yet they still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart they put God to the test by asking for food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he prepare meat for his people?" Therefore Yahweh heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the skies above them and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them grain from heaven. Men ate the bread of angels and sent them provisions to satisfy. He led forth the east wind in the heavens, and by his strength he guided the south wind. Then he rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas. He caused them to fall in the midst of his camp, all around his dwelling places. So they ate and were very satisfied, and their desire he brought to them. Before they had satisfied their desire, while the food was in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous deeds. So he brought their days to an end in futility and their years in sudden terror. When he killed them, then they sought him and returned and sought earnestly for God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not prepared to remain with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. And he abounded in turning back his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that goes and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they tested God and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his miracles in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood and their streams they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the grasshopper and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He killed their vines with hailstones and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones and their herds to bolts of lightning. He sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation and distress, a band of destroying angels. He leveled a path for his anger. He did not hold back their soul from death, but gave over their life to the plague. So he struck all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their vigor in the tents of Ham. But he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them to safety so that they did not fear, but the sea covered their enemies. So he brought them to his holy land, to his hill country which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them and apportioned them for an inheritance by measurement, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bow. For they provoked him with their high places and aroused his jealousy with their graven images. God heard and was filled with wrath and greatly rejected Israel, so that he abandoned the dwelling place at Shiloh, the tent which he had caused to dwell among men, and gave up his strength to captivity and his beauty into the hand of the adversary. He also gave over his people to the sword and was filled with wrath at his inheritance. Fire devoured his choice men, and his virgins had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and his wisdom and his widows could not weep. Then the Lord awoke, as if from sleep, as if he were a warrior overcome by wine. He struck his adversaries backward. He put on them an everlasting reproach. He also rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he had founded forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought them to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and led them with his skillful hands. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotional is entitled Forgiveness, the Greatest of All Miracles. Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Matthew 9, 2b. Dr. MacArthur writes, Jesus' ultimate words to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, represent the greatest of all divine miracles and definitely the most desirable for the one who hears them. This is the Holy Son of God forgiving the sins of an unholy man. He could control nature with a word, and with those words he dismissed the man's sins and graciously made him right with God. The verb translated are forgiven means send away or do away with. David declares, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's Psalm 103, verse 12. See also Micah 7:19. It is a trustworthy statement and deserving full acceptance, Paul asserts, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. 1 Timothy 1:15. That means Jesus came to forgive sinners who trust in him. Sin is hostility and rebellion against God and his law, Leviticus 26:27, 1 Timothy 1:9, 1 John 3:4. It is incurable by human power, Jeremiah 13:23. It affects all people, Romans 3:23. It affects the total person, Ephesians 2:1 3, and subjects people to hell if they do not repent, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Such a bleak portrait means the best news anyone can ever receive is the word that his or her sins are forgiven. Ask yourself, as you pray through a particular issue of need in your life right now, what are you really seeking? Are you only wanting the resolution of a conflict, the alleviation of pain, the mending of a relationship? Or does God want your eyes on even greater spiritual matters? All right, we are back in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses' blessings, as he is blessing the tribes of Israel, really on the occasion of his death. As I mentioned yesterday, that Moses and Joshua had climbed up to the top of Mount Nebo. God allowed Moses to look across the Jordan and see the promised land. And then Moses pronounced this blessing upon the tribes of Israel. And then Moses died there on the mountain. And as Joshua has recorded, I believe it was Joshua, we don't know for sure, but I believe that chapters 33 and 34 were recorded for us by Joshua. So these are the words of Moses as handed down to us by most likely Joshua. Now we've looked at the tribe of Reuben. Moses' blessing on Reuben was that they live and not die, nor his men be few. So he was wishing that the tribe of Reuben would not be wiped out and would be numerous. And then for Judah, he prayed that Judah would, you know, help the people, and that God would help Judah against his adversaries. And of course, Judah is the tribe from which would come the Messiah. Of the Levites, the tribe of whom were the priests and the ministers, those who cared for the tabernacle and cared for, took care of the sacrifices and all of that. He prayed that God would enable them to do their work, and that God would bless them and provide for them and protect them. And today we are coming to verse 12, where we are looking at Benjamin. Of Benjamin, he said, may the beloved of Yahweh dwell in security by him, who shields him all the day, and he dwells between his shoulders. So this tribe was going to have security and peace because God was going to shield them. That was Moses' request. They were given the land north of the land of the tribe of Judah, the land near Jerusalem. And it is interesting, when the kingdom was divided, Benjamin stayed with Judah and was part of the southern tribe. Benjamin stayed loyal to the house of David. The other tribes, you know, Benjamin and Judah were the tribes that stayed loyal. The other tribes did not. And of course, we know that was God's judgment upon Israel. But at the same time, we see that this was, that Benjamin remained true. And that was a fulfillment of this promise or this blessing that Moses had given. They would dwell securely. Yahweh would dwell in security. May the beloved of Yahweh dwell in security by him. So this is why they are near the temple. They were dwelling in security near the place where Yahweh had set his name, where he was to be worshipped. Yahweh shields them all day long, and Benjamin dwells between Yahweh's shoulders. Very protected place. Not on his head, but, you know, think about the most secure place where you carry something between your shoulders. It's, you know, there's a reason why we carry things on our backs. We're built that way. So this is a carrying. Benjamin would be carried and supported by Yahweh. Then in verse 13, Moses turns to Joseph, and this would include both the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, because Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh were Joseph's sons, whom Jacob had elevated to full tribes as if they were his own children and not his grandchildren. So Joseph became two tribes. And yes, it does mess up the count. and it has been noted that you know, there are multiple reasons why there are multiple lists of the tribes of Israel. And it's always interesting to see who's included and who isn't, and to try to figure out why and why not. I mentioned yesterday, and I deleted that note, which tribe isn't mentioned here. Let me pull that back up just to see that real quick. Because we know that, Tuesday's note. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Come on. It's loading. Always loading. There we go. All right, Tuesday's note. Scroll back up to the introduction. All right, so, yep. Simeon was excluded in this list of tribes, but there are other lists which exclude other tribes. So the fact that Joseph is two tribes, that does mess up the count of tribes, and so, like I said, it's always interesting to see how it gets counted when it gets counted. So, verse 13, of Joseph he said, blessed of Yahweh be his land, with the choice things of heaven, with the dew and from the deep lying beneath, and with the choice produce of the sun, and with the choice yield of the months. And with the best things of the ancient mountains, and with the choice things of the everlasting hills, and with the choice things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let it come to the head of Joseph, and to the top of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. As the firstborn of his ox, splendor is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With them he will push the peoples all at once to the ends of the earth. And those are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and these are the thousands of Manasseh. So again, both are mentioned here, which is, you know, important, because as I said, those were elevated to full tribehood by Jacob in his blessings at the end of Genesis, which we read not too long ago in our read-through, our daily Bible reading. So here we have a blessing of material prosperity. This Joseph was going to be a wealthy tribe, or two tribes. Wealthy and mighty. Joseph would be, Ephraim and Manasseh would be a mighty military force, especially Ephraim. You notice at the end of there, it says the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Ephraim was going to be very blessed and very powerful. And so this was in a lot of ways seen as a reward to Joseph because of the years of slavery that Joseph endured in Egypt. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery through no fault of his own. And then he was cast into prison falsely accused. And, you know, up until he was blessed mightily by becoming the number two guy in Egypt. But up until then, things had not been good. God did bless Joseph, but that blessing was going to continue to his descendants. A blessing for his faithfulness. There are two individuals in the scripture, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, of which no sin is recorded. Now, we're not saying that they didn't sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But their sin was not recorded. It was not handed down. I mean, and that's an amazing thing. When you think about how brutally honest the scriptures are about the people in it, we know of David's sin. We know of Peter's sin. We know, I mean, there's, you know, it's all laid bare throughout the scriptures. But no sin is recorded for Joseph. And no sin is recorded for Daniel. These are the two of which there is no two major figures in the scripture. I mean, obviously, you know, there might be some shopkeeper mentioned or something where we don't have any details about them and there's no mention of their sins. But of any major character, you know, from Abraham, you know, Noah got drunk, you know, I mean, we can look at any of the figures in the scripture and we see that their sins are recorded for us. Except for Joseph and Daniel. So there is, Joseph was as upright and faithful as is humanly possible. He knew the Lord and he followed the Lord as hard as he could. And it's amazing that, you know, of course, a lot of that is God's doing. We understand that. He was enabled by God to stay upright and pure. But at the same time, he's rewarded for it. And this is part of that reward, that his sons, the tribes which come from his loins, would be mighty and would be prosperous. So this is the outworking of Jacob's blessing, which we saw back in Genesis 48:20. And then in verse 18, we turn to Zebulun and Issachar, the next two tribes on our list here. Of Zebulun, he said, "Be glad, Zebulun, in your going forth, and Issachar in your tents. They will call peoples to the mountains. There they will offer righteous sacrifices, for they will draw out the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sands." So Moses prayed that these tribes would receive God's blessing in their daily lives, particularly as traders over the sea and desert. So you can picture trading ships sailing and bringing back wealth to Israel. And you can picture desert caravans going across the sands and bringing back wealth to Israel. So these are tribes that were going to be blessed in the material sense through trade. Then in verse 20, and this is where we'll end today, of Gad he said, "Blessed is the one who enlarges Gad. He lies down as a lion and tears the arm also, the top of the head. Then he provided the first part for himself and there for the ruler's portion was reserved. And he came with the heads of the people. He did the righteousness of Yahweh and his judgments with Israel." So Gad had a large territory east of the Jordan and was a leader in gaining victory in the battles over the land of Canaan against the Canaanites. So we see him as a lion who is tearing down his prey. the lion in scripture is often used of a powerful beast that was nigh unconquerable. And so to see Gad as a lion, this is a picture of, you know, might and power. And so this was a tribe that was key to Israel's military might, especially during the conquest. And so we see how Moses' blessings were prophetic. This is, he's not saying, you know, it's not Spockian, live long and prosper. He's saying, this is who you are, and this is how you're going to prosper, and this is how you're going to benefit the nation of Israel. And so we see that here. One more. We'll go ahead and do Dan in verse 22. Of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp that leaps forth from Bashan. So Dan had the potential for, you know, like a young lion full of energy and strength. The interesting thing, according to the note in the MacArthur Study Bible, that in Genesis 49, 17 and 18, Dan is compared to a serpent. So here is a lion cub, you know, and a lion cub isn't a lion yet, but a lion cub has the potential to be a lion. So interesting looking at the tribe of Dan there. All right, we are going to stop there. We will finish up the song of Moses the blessings of Moses on Wednesday. Because remember, there will be no squirrel chatter on Tuesday. So we will rejoin our study Bible level Bible study on Wednesday. Because I won't be here Tuesday. I'm going to be, as I said, I'll be doing the quiz bowl for the high school kids. Always a fun day. All right. Let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the collect for the third Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, you gave your only Son to be for us both a sacrifice for sin and an example of godly living. Give us grace thankfully to receive his inestimable benefits, and daily to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin, nor run into any danger, and that guided by your Spirit we may do what is righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Wednesday. Hope you have a wonderful day. I'm looking forward to youth group tonight. I hope you got something to look forward to, too. But as you go through the day, remember, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.